So great to be out here at North with all of you guys. And you braved the rain. That's so cool. And I just loved last week. So I listened to you guys when you had the three of you about serving. That was so good. If you missed that, make sure you get the podcast. But kia ora koutou katoa. It was really cool being with Luca at the prophetic workshop yesterday. And Dean, where's Dean? You got the most amazing prophetic word. It was really over both of you, really. It was incredible. So don't miss tonight. Don't let a bit of rain stop you from carpooling and bringing in the North contingent. The army of the North is coming. And we have sausage rolls afterwards as well. So anyway, it's going to be great. Ash and I were on a Seeking God retreat last weekend, which we run two of those a year at church. And if you've never been on, who has been on a Seeking God retreat? Quite a few. If you haven't been on one, I really want to encourage you to go. So the next one is the first weekend in September. And man, the anointing was so strong. Ash and Anna led us in worship. It was incredible. And with the odd bass player thrown in as well. And we just, the power of God turned up. People were shaking under the power of God. People were hitting the deck. There were three healings, physical healings. It was amazing. So make sure you get to one of those if you can. And who's seen the latest movie, Jesus Revolution? Wow. If you haven't seen that, you need to go probably this week or it'll finish. I think it's only $10 in town at event cinemas. And it's usually on 3:30 p.m. and 6 p.m., but you better check it out when it's on. But don't leave it too long or you might miss it. Incredible true story about the revival amongst the hippies about 50 years ago or more in California, which is really awesome. And if you've been watching The Chosen, Jesus from The Chosen, that actor is in it as well. So that is fantastic. Who's been watching The Chosen? If you haven't, get the app. It's all free and you can watch it. It is incredible. It brings the Bible alive. So today we are going to talk about moving mountains. Who would like to have a bit of mountain moving faith? Oh yeah, we all want to have that. But there's some ways to go about moving mountains. So the title today is Move That Mountain. Father, we pray you would anoint your word with power. Lord, we just want to have mountain-moving faith like you have, like you told us we could have. And Lord, help us to move in that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, the reality is in this world, sometimes in our lives, things don't always go sweet as, do they? By the way, don't ever say sweet as in America because they think you're saying something about their anatomy and they don't respond well. Just say it in New Zealand and it will all be sweet as. Sometimes we have challenges in our lives. Sometimes we have obstacles in our paths. And there may be people here, even today in this room, who are facing mountains that need to be moved. I'm talking about mountains of lack or debt, mountains of relationship breakdown, mountains of a bad report or a diagnosis from the doctor. Health mountains, financial mountains, relational mountains, whatever mountains. The thing about a mountain is that it looks so permanent. It looks so immovable. It looks so big. So how are we to respond when we have a mountain that is blocking the path that God has called us to walk on? What do we do? Well, what we normally do is we like to talk about them. My job is so stressful. I'm going backwards financially. And things like that. So we speak to others about our mountains, the mountains that are in our way, and we talk to other people about how big and bad and ugly they are. You tell your mother, you tell your friends, you tell the guys at work, you tell your hairdresser, of course the girl at the checkout at the supermarket. I've got a mountain and it's so big and it's in my way. But Jesus tells us to speak to the mountains and they will move. So today we're going to look at four scriptures. Instead of points, I've got four scriptures that we're going to look at and how to move these mountains. Number one, are you ready? Jesus said, Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So let's break that down. Jesus told us to say to the mountain. So he's saying, don't talk about the mountain, talk to the mountain. Don't talk about the problem, talk to the problem. Don't talk about the circumstance, talk to the circumstance. So often, we let the mountain speak to us when we need to be speaking to the mountain. When we talk about our mountain over and over, we make it bigger. And then it seems like God, in comparison, seems smaller. But we need to rise up and speak to that mountain in Jesus' name. And I don't care how big, bad, or ugly your mountain is, we serve a mountain-moving God, and He specializes in impossible things. He specializes in moving mountains. And He tells us to do the same. And there are some things in this room that need to shift today in the spirit realm. So whatever your mountain is, Jesus tells us how to shift them, and we're going to do some mountain moving at the end. He tells us how to shift them with our mouths. Why don't you open your mouth today like you're at the dentist? That's right. He tells us to speak to these mountains in faith. So here's our second scripture. Are you ready? Joshua 1 verse 8. We're going Old Testament now. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. So do not let this book of the law, this word of God, this Bible depart from where? Your mouth. It doesn't say do not let this book depart from your bedside table where it is gathering dust. It says do not let it depart from your mouth. Now we know we need to be reading the Word of God, and we know we need to be listening to it on our phones. We know we need to be hearing the Word of God, but we can't stop there. It then has to be declared out our mouths. So it's not enough for God's Word to be going in our eyeballs and then into our brain. It's not enough for the Word of God to be going in our ears through our earbuds plugged into our phone. It's not enough for the Word to be going in. It also needs to then come out our mouths. This is really important. And this word in Hebrew, the word meditate, really means to mutter. So do not let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth, but mutter it. Meditate on it, mutter it day and night. So we see here in the scripture there is a link between speaking the word of God, meditating on it, doing it, and being prosperous and successful. And we know Joshua is taking new ground here. He's going into the promised land. He is about to lead God's people to possess all he has promised them. But he's got some mountains in the way, namely giants. So whenever God leads us to take new ground, there's always a battle. You know, the devil had held this ground, the promised land, back here for over 440 years. Was the devil about to go, okay, here, have it, it's yours? No way, Jose! Right now, as a church, we are taking ground. We've had the Hope Project. Lots of us were involved in prayer walking and delivering them and into letterboxes, and that went over the whole nation and letterboxes everywhere, and it was ads on TV, and it was social media stuff. We've had 11 days of prayer and fasting. We've had Easter egg outreach in your community with 400 people coming. We've had Easter services, visitors, Seeking God retreat. The youth have been at Easter camp. We've got new families coming in Tauranga. The car park's getting full each week, and we're having to park our cars on the grass under the trees, and we're getting bird poo all over our cars in Jesus' name. I think taking back ground for the Lord looks like bird poo on your car. But God is telling us, his people here in this text, he's telling us to advance, to take over spiritual territory, take it back from the enemy, because the Lord's the one who created it all anyway. Are we naive enough, though, to think that Satan's just going to hand it over? Spiritual territory that he's occupied in the city for generations? No, there's always a battle. But we're up for a battle, aren't we? Because we battle in prayer. And the commander of our army is Jesus. And he is always victorious. So God not only tells Joshua how to take new territory for God, he tells him how to do it by speaking the word of God. So the Lord is telling Joshua to be strong and courageous three times in this chapter. He's also telling us that today too. And the Christian life demands courage, and this courage is supplied to us through the Word. Now, do you know there are many promises in the Bible? Specifically, there are 7,487 promises from God given directly to people in the Bible. So we can stand on those because we are God's people. And we've got to take them personally and live by them. There's this guy called Solomon Ginsberg, if I'm saying his name correctly. And that guy was a Polish Jew, and he got saved. And this is like over 100 years ago. And he became a fiery evangelist, and he ministered a lot in Europe and South America. But then in the year 1911, he needed some rest, so he decided to have a furlough, which is, I think John and Mary know what that means. It's like a missionary's holiday or something. When they come back home and just have a rest. And his route took him to Lisbon, capital of Portugal, and he'd finished his Europe ministry. Then he was going to get in a ship and go across the Bay of Biscay to London, then get on another ship and go across the Atlantic to the USA. But when he got to Lisbon, he found all these bulletin boards plastered with weather telegrams warning of horrific storms that were raging on the Bay of Biscay, saying, don't travel now, don't sail now, it's too dangerous. And he was advised to delay his trip a week, and his ticket allowed him to do this. But he prayed about it. And on his calendar, prayer calendar that day, was a scripture. And it was Deuteronomy 2 verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. So he felt that was confirmation. The Lord would protect him. And so he felt to go ahead with his journey because he felt like his worldwide travels were under divine protection. So he boarded the ship at once, crossed the Bay of Biscay without incident, and then caught another ship in London called the Majestic. He had a transatlantic voyage which was smooth and restful, and it was only upon arriving in the USA did Solomon learn that had he delayed his trip in Lisbon, he would have arrived in London just in time to board the Titanic. We've got to listen to the word of God. We've got to be guided by the word of God like Solomon was. Now, in the armor of God, which we read about in the New Testament, the word is seen as a sword. Everything else in the armor is defensive. It protects us. But the sword is our only offensive weapon. So we've got to learn how to use God's word as a spiritual weapon. The word of God is powerful. And the word of God in your mouth, spoken out with faith, is extremely powerful. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. That's Hebrews 4:12. But our next scripture, number three, the main one, is also in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:23. The first half. In the ESV it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And in the King James, it says profession instead of confession. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope. In the Greek, this word confession or profession is homologia, if I'm saying that correctly, which means agreement. Homo, the same, logia is logos, the word of God. So it's basically saying homologia means to say the same as God. Come into agreement with God. Our profession, our confession is to say the same as God says in his word. So when it comes to our problem, our mountain, our obstacle, we've got to say the same as God does about it. What does the word say about my health? What does the word say about our finances, about our marriage, about our kids? We've got to stop saying how big our mountain is, and say what God's word says. Don't say what your feelings say. Don't say what your circumstances say. Don't say what your workmates say. Say what God says. And the Bible teaches us what God says in here. The word says, the word of God says that words are powerful things. Proverbs 18:21a, that's our last main scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Why don't you stick your tongue out at the person next to you? Death and life right there. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what we say is powerful and significant. Now here's the problem. As believers, so often, and we don't even know we're doing this, we get into agreement with the devil. and we're not even aware of it. By speaking out sickness and death over ourselves without a thought. Oh, how are you? Oh, not feeling the best. Oh, I think I'm getting sick. Oh, I probably got COVID. Oh, at least the flu. You're at a cafe. Oh, I love those macaroons. They're to die for. Really? You die for a macaroon? Hey, how you doing? Oh, not bad. Is that all we've got? Just slightly above bad. I remember my granddad on the farm, I'd always say, "Hi, granddad, how are you?" "Oh, not too bad, considering my age, the weather and the government." That was the standard answer every time. I don't know, is it a Kiwi thing? Or we're just slightly above bad? What about good? When someone asks me how I am, my habit is to say, "Jolly good." And people are like, "Oh, jolly." And Alan's even better. When someone goes, "How are you?" he says, "Exceptionally good." He always says that, and people are often shocked, and they're like, "Oh, why? Have you won lotto, or what's happening?" And right then you can say, "Oh no, Jesus, and he's so good." So often, this is what we do. We agree with sickness. We agree with death through our words. We're speaking them out over our lives. We've got to break our agreement with the devil and get into agreement with God. Homologia, say the same as God says. We've got to get this word into us and get it coming out our mouths so we're in agreement with God. This is how mountains are moved. We don't only reap what we sow, we reap what we say. And when we speak the word of God out over our lives and our circumstance, over our mountains, we are speaking life into the spirit realm. We know the word of God has huge creative power. We know God brought about all of creation, the heavens and the earth, by his words. He didn't create the heavens and the earth with a hammer and nails. He spoke it. He said, "Let there be light," and it happened. Creative power is in the word that God speaks. It's still in the word that we speak when it's his word coming out our mouths. So God said, "Let there be light," and the darkness was changed. The light came and banished darkness. We, the people of God, are called to be his change agents on the earth. We are called by God to bring change into this world. We're called by God to bring his kingdom down to earth. Like Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we are called to bring God's kingdom, which means his rulership and his authority, into this reality. We are not called to just accept the status quo. Now, back in Genesis 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, in verse 2 it says, "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep." Some translations say chaos. So what did God do when he saw that darkness and emptiness and chaos? What did he do? Did he just go, "Darkness, bummer, I'd really hope for some light. Oh well, I guess I'll just have to live with it." No, he did something about it. He spoke. He brought change. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Lord did not settle for darkness. He spoke light. He did not settle for the status quo. He exercised his spiritual authority by speaking words. Far too often, we as believers settle for darkness. As a corporate group, over the church, as individuals, over our lives, over our families, we settle for darkness instead of speaking the word of God, which brings light. I've got a question for you all today. Are you settling for darkness? Is there an area in your life where you're settling for darkness, but God is calling you to speak light, to bring change? Let's not submit to the conditions of darkness. Let's change them. God has given us his authority. We've got to exercise that spiritual authority that he has given us by speaking the word, by speaking light into the darkness, speaking the word into spiritual darkness and watching the light invade it. We've got that authority. He said, "I have given you authority over all the enemy's power. You will walk on snakes and scorpions. You will crush them under your feet. Nothing will show in any way do you harm." In Luke 10:19. So some of us have no idea how powerful we really are. Why don't you tell the person next to you, "You've got no idea how powerful I really am." That's right. So often as believers, we are misusing our words. We are whinging and moaning about our big mountains and our tragic situations. Tragedy. And we have this big moan session to the Lord and we call it a prayer time. Well, Lord, I've got an eviction notice in the mail today and I guess this must be what you want for me. I suppose this means you want me to be homeless and find a waterproof park bench to sleep under. Well, I've got this official letter, so I guess it must be your will for my life. No, we don't have to settle for conditions of darkness. We don't have to live in the cold shadow of that big ugly mountain. Just because you've been hit with some negative circumstances doesn't mean you have to accept them and lay down and die. We've got to ditch this sarah theology. Whatever will be, will be. No, we bring change. We've got to bury this fatalistic thinking. If we're confused about what God's will is for our lives, we don't have to be. It's right here. We just got to read the book. There's too much passive Christianity around. God is calling us to be warriors and learn how to be spiritually aggressive and fight. The kingdom of God is expanding. It's enlarging. It's an ever-increasing kingdom. And we are a part of that. So we've got to stop whinging about our problems to God because there's no faith in that. And we've just got to read the book of Exodus and Numbers to know that God hates moaning and complaining. Has anyone got little kids or remember when they had little kids and that whiny tone came, I want an ice cream. And you're just like, that is no way to get an ice cream right there. That is not working. Right there, you're annoying me. How do you think the Lord feels with how many billion people on the earth are there? He just wants someone with a bit of faith to start speaking some things out, to start getting into agreement with him. You know, if we're having a moan time and we've got the audacity to call it a prayer time, I think the Lord's up there like, what is that whining sound? Angels, can you hear something? It sounds like a mosquito. Gabriel, get the fly spray. I think he's over it. Instead of moaning, we've got to be positive and be proactive and speak out his word. The word of God has prophetic power. The word of God has Holy Ghost anointing. The word of God is God breathed. The word of God is amazing. And miracles happen when it is spoken out. And when we speak it out, we are releasing our faith. We are communicating our belief. Did you know Jesus spoke healing to people far more than he ever prayed for someone to be healed? And he spoke to the fig tree and it withered. And he spoke to the lame beggar and he was healed. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter did as well. And John in Acts. And then Paul spoke to the sorcerer and he was temporarily blinded. Joshua even spoke to the sun and it stopped for half a day. When we speak to mountains, we are saying what God says. We are speaking the will of God into being on earth. And we don't pray for the sick like, oh Lord, if you can, please, would you heal this tormented soul and body if it's your will? What is that? We know it's God's will to heal because we've read the book. Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. We know sickness is a part of the curse. Good health is part of the blessing. Jesus took our curse on the cross. He suffered so we wouldn't have to. So instead, we don't pray with a whingy tone, begging God. We speak to the sickness. Fever, get off him in Jesus' name. Cancer, get out of her body in Jesus' name. We don't plead with God and beg with him in prayer. We speak out his word in faith. That's how Jesus did it. You know what? The Lord doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. If he responded to need, there'd be no sick people in the whole world and there'd be no poor people in the whole world. But he says in his word that anyone who comes to God must believe he exists. So without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists. He is pleased with faith. He is pleased when we believe in him. The word of God is to be our truth and our reality, not what we currently see around us. You know, Wigglesworth did this. That guy was amazing. He transformed Britain, brought revival to Britain, saved them from a bloody, I'm not swearing, there was a lot of blood, bloody revolution like Russia and France had. And he rode over 250,000 miles on horseback and preach the gospel. They think 42,000 sermons, something like 250, I think, books he wrote. The man was a machine. He was anointed. It was supernatural. But sometimes he had to fight off sickness, and his horse had to fight off sickness. And sometimes his horse would get lame. The poor horse had have to anoint him with oil too. And once he, in his diaries, they saw he was particularly struggling. Remember, there was no antibiotics invented, I think penicillin in the 1930s. So back then, you know, If you lived in England where it rains a lot and you were outside on a horse or walking, you would often get wet and cold. And if you got cold, you could get a chest infection, which could be lead to pneumonia, and you'd die. That's why those of us of British descent grew up with our mothers yelling at us when we were playing as kids outside in the rain, "Come inside or you'll catch your death!" And you think, that's a bit dramatic, but this is where they got it from. So this guy was in pain, and he was fighting pain and fever. And one day he just had to lie down all day. And that was the only way he could get any relief. And then he had to get up and preach at night, and he believed God, and he got up. And then when he preached, the anointing came on him, he felt okay. But then afterwards, he stopped preaching. He had to lie down again. And he knew he had to preach again the next night. And he was wanting a breakthrough for him and his horse. And then this verse came into his mind. Here we go, the word of God. Mark 16:17, and faith came in. And he spoke it out. He said, "These signs shall follow those who believe." And he started speaking out the rest of the verse. And he was praying into it and speaking out. Guess what? His pain vanished. His fever left. Even his horse got better. And he was able to continue on. Because we need to speak the word of God to our mountains that need to move in Jesus' name. If the band could join me, please. We've got to speak the word into our circumstances that need to change. We've got to prophesy the word into our situations. So firstly, we command mountains to move in the spirit realm, and then we see it outworked in the natural realm. Now, maybe your mountain's a relational one in your family. Some of you here today may have kids or grandkids who are away from the Lord. But the Lord wants to encourage you today that they're going to come back. And he wants us to change the way we pray for them. He wants us to stand on the word and proclaim that word for them. So here we go, Isaiah 54:13. You could write that down. Isaiah 54:13. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. So we pray that. I always like putting their names in there. Thank you, Lord. All my children, not some of them, all of them will be taught by you, will be disciples of you, and great will be their peace. Put the kid's name in. Little Felicia will be taught by the Lord, and great will be her peace. We get another word. Psalm 112:1-2. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. So we change the way we pray. Instead of praying out of fear, "Oh God, I don't know what's going to happen to Felicia. She's on drugs and she's hanging with a bad crowd. Oh no, Lord, I think she's going to peel out of her wardrobe." No, we choose to stand on the strong foundation, the unshakable foundation of the word of God. So as you're driving to work, as you're in the shower, you're speaking out the word, you're prophesying over your kid. Thank you, Lord. Felicia will be taught by the Lord, and great will be her peace. Another translation says, Felicia will be a disciple of the Lord, and she will have great peace. You're driving, you're getting ready, you're speaking it out. Thank you, Lord, as you're in the shower. Thank you, Lord, Felicia will be mighty in the land. And as you hear the word of God spoken out your mouth, guess what happens? A conviction in your spirit starts to rise up. You start to get the substance of faith on the inside of you. You can see it now. That girl is coming back to the Lord. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Maybe your mountain is a financial one, and you can't see how you're ever going to get ahead. You can't see how you're ever going to buy a house in Tauranga. You can't see how you ever get out of debt. So you need to get a word from the word about your finances and speak it out and pray it and prophesy it with boldness and faith. You've heard our story probably about how we got a house miraculously when we didn't have a deposit. We didn't even have a duh. But the Lord had given me a word about having a home of our own. I think from memory, 2 Samuel 7:10. I will plant my people And we'll provide. I will provide a place for my people, and we'll plant them. I put our name in it. The Hoods. I will provide a place for my people. The Hoods, and we'll plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. I wrote that out. I put it on my like a music stand, a bit like this, a bit like that, in my bedroom, and I pray it and speak it out every day. You're declaring it. You're prophesying it. 7 years later, we are given a bit of money and our landlords say, would you like to buy a house? Less price because no agents. And we got a house miraculously, and that was 10 and a half years ago. Thank you, Lord. And now it's doubled in price. But the faithfulness of God, when we stand and speak and declare His word, it's amazing. Faith rises in our spirit and we really start to declare it and believe it, because like it says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is very important for our own spirit to hear the word of God spoken out over our lives. This is what happens when we're reading the word of God. It goes in our eyes, and we're reading it aloud. It's also going in our ears, and then it goes out of our mouths and back in our ears again. All our senses are assaulted by the word of God. The word of God is powerful. When it's spoken out, stuff happens. Like the world being created. There's still creative power in His word when it's coming through our mouths. Today, whatever type of mountain you may be facing, health, financial, relational, there are verses of scripture, there are promises from God about it. We need to go to His word and find out what He says about it and get into agreement with Him. Write it out, memorize it, and speak it out, declare it. Why don't you stand with me today? We're going to speak to some mountains right here, right now, in Jesus' name. If you know you have a mountain that needs moving, I want to invite you to come and stand out here with me, and we're going to lay hands on and pray together. If you have a mountain that's financial, if you have a mountain that's health, if you have a mountain that's to do with your family or relationships, why don't you come now? In the name of Jesus, just come and stand across the front. This is great. That's it. Don't be shy now. We do this every week. We always invite people to come and pray and lay hands on. It's just normal. Right now, let's all lift our hands. Father, right now we declare to these mountains, you will not block the path that God has His people on. We say to you to move in the name of Jesus. The Lord says move. We stand on the authority of the word of God, and we speak to these mountains to move in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're going to worship God, and we're going to see these mountains moving as the ministry team come and we lay hands on people and pray in the name of Jesus. We're going to speak in agreement to these mountains. Thank you, Lord.